You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, everyone listening will be happy to know that I did not see an ability to turn off the ringer, so I ripped the phone out of the wall.
Oh, no.
Yep, it's out of the wall. Thank you. Thank you.
I hope you didn't actually rip it out of the
wall. I did, because I didn't know what to do. I can't take the abuse that I would get from you if you started the
ring. Well, you could have just gently lifted the phone off and disconnected the cord.
How would you have responded if Peter were home and the phone was ringing in the background?
No, like
we'd be late to break.
For how long he'd be ripping me?
Yeah, we still do it.
Imagine we're sitting in my house and just eight rings goes.
Right. And then
you know what? I probably would have had to leave the show. So come on. Don't be better than the rest of us.
I'm not better. I'm saying I didn't want to hear it anymore. So I ripped the phone off the wall.
It was such a throwback moment, though.
You're not a destructive person that way. You wouldn't do damage.
Well, you said
to the
Friday,
drywall.
And it made me think that you've seen me angry.
Yes.
So I do have that snappage.
But not, destroying your own property. You know, killing drywall.
Came with the house.
No, interesting.
There are people. And I know that everything now, and I have to be careful with this, everything now is political theater.
Mm. Here we go. Here we go.
Are there people within the sound of our voice right now that truly believe that the NFL rigged their season so that Taylor Swift's boyfriend would be in the Super Bowl? Do you really believe that that has happened? Because there are people that have a platform that actually believe that this is the case and that the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl because the NFL wants Taylor Swift to be able to announce her allegiance and her endorsement of Joe Biden at halftime. This is stuff I've read. Now, as far as I know, Taylor Swift was not dating Travis Kelce last year. And as far as I know, they won the Super Bowl last year. So if they won the Super Bowl again this year, do you think it has anything to do with the NFL rigging the biggest event in the world so that Taylor Swift could have more publicity?
Wait a minute.
And that they want Taylor Swift to be part of the Chiefs so they get bigger numbers. They get 117 million viewers the way it is. What's it going to go to, 122?
And that she endorses Biden?
Yeah.
Michael, I don't know a lot of information about the NFL owners. But I think if they wanted to rig it, Kid Rock would be dating Travis Kelce.
It's true.
All right, real quick, hold on. Don's got a second point guard. Second point guard of the day.
NFL owners are clearly on the side of the Republican candidate. I think there's an. I saw the numbers say 89% of the owners support Donald Trump. So you think that the NFL owners are rigging this that Taylor Swift could actually be part of a halftime thing where she endorses the Democratic candidate for? I mean, are you people out of your mind? Do you really want to go to the? And I also don't understand. I know Peter has some lighthearted stuff about it. Why the enmity toward this woman? What has she done? What has she done that upset so many people? Everything I've ever seen about the woman is she donates to worthy causes.
She seems great.
Yeah. She seems like a...
And by the way, she's super talented. Her music's pretty
good. The world.
I have no serious issues with Taylor Swift at all. And anything I've ever said about it is in jest because it's just like a funny thing. Then, of course, people seem to go so far with everything that just having fun and finding it annoying is like... I don't want to associate with people who are actually angry about this or think it's problematic. I read that yesterday. I read real humans. I'd love to talk to one. Please.
Right. So would I.
If you really believe this league is scripted and you really believe the Ravens didn't have a chance yesterday, I want to talk to you because you are a moron. You honestly, you... It does not make any sense. I'm not saying I don't believe in any sort of conspiracy. I'm not saying like I talk about it all the time. And healthcare, there are a lot of different issues where I will say, "Oh my God, this doesn't add up. Something's going on here." In fact, many world issues happening right now, I have big conspiracy theories about. However, at the NFL, do you realize if you're trying to say that the Chiefs, honestly, they were going to win no matter what because Taylor Swift, blah 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 blah. What would have happened if the Ravens had just been good yesterday?
And also,
what if Lamar Jackson had just run all over them? They could have won 41-10.
Well, also, Peter, if they were rigging an outcome for the top level of eyeballs, wouldn't the Lions have beaten the 49ers? To have Eminem and Taylor Swift? I mean, don't you you bring everybody into the tent?
If they were rigging this thing, do you think we'd be going on 30 years without the Cowboys in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, someone make that.
Listen, I don't even care about the people that have the nerve to like make this up. I care about the people that actually think that it could be true, because the people that are making it up in order to get like your attention are convincing you that it's true. And I do want to know. And the phones are always there for
always.
You to contact us. What makes this woman so detestable to you? Why?
But who is actually saying that?
Half the country feels that way.
It's social media, and social media is just disgusting. But there are people, Peter, that are annoyed how much she's on television.
But she doesn't put herself on television. Oh. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, it can be a little much.
But it's not her fault.
But it's not her fault, and it's nothing that you can't just ignore if you really choose to. I mean, it doesn't really interfere with my viewing. And you know, if they're not showing her, they'd show some dummy with his shirt off,
yep,
with his face painted red.
Or
there was a shot yesterday, Don,
I don't care about.
Where they showed her cheering after a touchdown, and you could see she looked up. There's a TV in the box, and she said, "Shut the camera off." She's not asking to be on. The woman is as famous as you could be. You think she needs to be on NFL games?
People are very, listen, like I said, have some fun, tease it, sure, okay, lots of Taylor Swift, but are you actually angry about this?
I guess there are, though, Peter, you know
people,
that.
Because there are people that are just angry in general.
Well, yeah, and also she's a really strong, powerful woman who can buy and sell anybody that she wants.
And
she is a billionaire who does whatever she wants. So a lot of people just don't like it.
And I also think that this segment of the population that's a little nervous, because she does move the needle politically. She could get young women to register. She's done it before. And she can tip an election. I think that's what's freaking people out.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I mean,
both sides, well, they won't be, but we should always encourage people to go out there and vote.
You know, I've sort of changed my mind on that.
Well, I mean, I guess in theory. But, and listen, there have been plenty of people that have become famous, and you're like, why are they famous?
Right.
That's not somebody you look and go, why is she famous? She's exceptionally talented. It's not my cup of tea, but my daughter loves her, and she's really good at what she does.
You know what's weirder than that? What's weirder than that is that I have a friend who, a dear friend, She's married to Chauncey. You've heard me talk about Chauncey.
Oh. Yeah.
Chauncey's wife, Erin, is not into sports or football at all, and loves the Kelces, and literally posted on her IG story counting down to the game to root for Travis because she loves Jason Kelce and the Kelces. That, to me, is much more random than being interested in Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, you fully understand the appeal. I mean, listen, there are people who, like I told you guys a long time ago, do people rate her incredibly highly and go, oh my God, I've never seen a concert like that in my life? And meanwhile, you find out they haven't been to a concert in 15 years? Yes, I've experienced that. Does that change anything about how talented she is? Clearly.
And there's also other people, Peter and Don, and our listeners, that feel that the Chiefs, you know, were fait accompli to go to the Super Bowl because they want to market the fact that Travis Kelce took the vaccine.
Okay. Well, no. I want to know who you're listening to. I want to know where you're seeing these people.
I don't want to give them any more breath. I will send you the link.
That is very, very strange. People have too much time.
Wait a minute. So Pfizer couldn't run a commercial unless Kelce was in the game?
No, but they want to see. Oh, look, he's a great player, and he actually took the vaccine. Wow. Listen, I don't make this stuff up.
I mean, can we let some things go?
One of the people saying that the Super Bowl is going to be rigged is the former, I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but Ramaswamy.
Vivek?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He said, let me get it for you.
This is a if you wanted to know, this is a bona fide.
I wonder what's going to win the Super Bowl next one. I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl next month. And I wonder if there's a major presidential endorsement coming from an artificially culturally propped up couple this fall. Just some wild speculation over here. Let's see how it ages over the next 8 months.
You know, I'll reserve comment on Vivek. Good old Vivek Ramaswamy.
And really, if I was going to talk to Vivek, why couldn't she endorse him without the Super Bowl?
Yeah, why does that matter?
Why does she need the Super Bowl to endorse him? She draws 100,000 people to her concerts.
Yeah, that part, if you think her influence did not go up, the NFL benefited much more than Taylor Swift did.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, I know that's almost nominal because the NFL doesn't need much either. But Taylor Swift, she's good, guys. She was a billionaire before this happened. Has she made money because of this yet? I don't think so.
Now, a good friend of the show texted me.
Okay, I need a name.
I'll give you the name. And wanted to know, okay, so Purdy is not the names that you listed. He said he's certainly not trash, which you did not say. But where is he in Peter's wedding tables? Where does he sit there, Peter?
Well, I have not thought this through all the way yet.
I know you're where you should have him.
Where would you have him, Donnie?
I think he's table two.
You do?
I was going to say.
Do you believe he's on the level of Jared Goff?
I would rather have him than Goff at this point. I mean, he's younger. He's only in his second year. He's thrown for 4,000 yards and 31 touchdowns.
But don't you think that's Goff? Goff has been to a Super Bowl. And I think this would have been Purdy's second Super Bowl, by the way, if he didn't get hurt.
Right.
Possibly.
I think Goff has a better arm.
Well, actually, it should be noted. Earlier in this year, when I re-upped the tables, and it was when Purdy was going just crazy, I put him at table two. He was already at table two.
All right, so let's take a look at this. Buffalo Bills. He's not better than Allen.
No, he's not.
All right, how about Tua? That's interesting.
He's not better than Tua. No chance.
All right, Patriots, he's better. Jets.
For sure. I mean,
he's better than Zach, but is he better than Rodgers? No.
Well, probably not, but I honestly, at this point, refuse to talk about what Aaron Rodgers is. We just don't know.
So this is your stand you're making. I love it.
I mean, what do you think, Don? Do you think we have a... Can you really tell me in 2024 what Aaron Rodgers is?
We're just saying, who's a better quarterback right now? At this moment...
The one who's available?
The last time Rodgers played was in 2022. He threw for 3,700 yards and 26 touchdowns.
Very good.
Purdy did better than that in his second year.
Yeah, but with Kyle Shanahan, a very different team, a loaded team.
Yeah, but you know what? The Packers.
Can we just give the Jets an NA?
Yes.
All right.
All right, let's go to the NFC East. This is interesting. Dak.
Purdy or Dak?
Well, but here's the thing. All right, you probably take Dak and his numbers, but in a big game,
Purdy's already proven to be more clutch. Yeah, I guess you go Purdy.
And he's 4-1 in the postseason, Purdy. All right, Giants, he's better than Jones.
Sure.
Eagles, Hurts. I think Hurts has more talent, but coming off this year, I'm not sure.
But from accomplishments, they're pretty much even.
Right.
Yeah, Hurts had a very rough year, but Hurts is... arm talent. I'd rather have Hurts, I think. I'll take
Commanders Hurts. Are not in. All right, so let's go to the AFC North. Lamar Jackson, no, he's not better. Burrow, he's not better.
Both in Pittsburgh, better.
Deshaun Watson is better. He's better.
I'm taking Purdy. I think Watson's dead.
Until further notice, I got to go back 3 years.
We're 3 years out, so I think it's over for Deshaun.
Right.
Well, and he's better than Little Hands.
I don't like what you've done there, and it's unnecessary.
Right.
But by the way, it's not just Little Hands. Him at Little Hands and Big Hands are bad there. I don't. If Rudolph Pickett, they don't have a quarterback there.
All right, NFC North, the Bears. He's better than Fields.
No, I'm taking Fields.
You don't think he's better than Fields?
No.
Interesting. Really? You can't do that, Peter.
I just did.
But the Bears are going to cut bait on Fields.
They may. And Fields, by the way, statistically, is certainly much worse. But the eye test that I've seen with both of them tells me if I was to put them on a team with nothing and no Kyle Shanahan,
but
I'm taking Fields.
Because you take any of these quarterbacks out of the situation that they're in, they're not going to be as good as...
But Michael said...
But we're doing that. But I agree with Peter because we're looking at talent.
Right,
because
Michael...
Because if you're just going by results, then Purdy's the number one.
Right, because Michael said he would replace... And I agree, he'd replace Purdy with Sam Darnold and be fine. So I have to look at the whole picture. I see more with Justin Fields. I think in the long run, Justin Fields on the right team could be a bigger stud. Than Brock
Purdy,
for sure.
All right, that's interesting. I wouldn't say that, but go ahead.
Okay. All right, Lions, Goff. You're saying you want him more than Goff.
Yes.
I can't argue with that.
I think
it's close.
I have them almost at dead even.
Okay. All right, here's an interesting one. Jordan Love.
You know me. Jolo. I'm taking Jordan Love.
They're both kind of in the same boat, right? Because they're both fairly young.
Jordan Love's just a bigger talent to me. There's no question.
Yeah, it does seem like he's got more talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vikings don't count. All right. Texans. CJ Stroud. Rather have him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts. We really don't know enough about Richardson.
But from what they say and saw, I think they're expecting Richardson to be a better talent than Brock Purdy. But I haven't watched him. So, I mean, I can't say.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
Yeah.
I would rather have the Jaguars quarterback.
Yeah, me too. Titans rather than Titan quarterback.
Levis?
Yeah.
I think Levis is the better talent than Purdy.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I saw some good stuff from Levis.
Yeah, but
he hasn't shown it yet. I guess based on what's on paper.
Come on.
What? You don't know, people really like
I know
Levis.
But here's the... Purdy's in his second year. He's thrown for 4,200 yards and 31 touchdown passes. I get he's got a genius as a head coach.
I mean, he's got weapons.
But how many of these guys, even Patrick Mahomes didn't throw for 4,200 yards in his second year. I mean, it's hard for me to have this conversation and not think about or even salivate at what Purdy could end up being next year. Like, he is growing into what could be an absolute stud. Yes, he clearly was the fourth quarterback. Going into the final four. And I agree with Michael. He's not Mahomes. He's not Jackson. He's not Allen. But God, you look at the second year of all those players. He's on pace to be as good as those players. And because of the coach and the system and the talent around him, we could be having a conversation in 2 or 3 years, guys, as Brock Purdy being one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Now, Falcons. He's better than Ritter, right?
For sure. Heinicke,
Panthers.
I don't know. Just kidding. Yes, better.
Better. Derek Carr.
Better.
Derek Carr is kind of, to me, what Purdy is right now at his ceiling.
Yeah, but I think Derek Carr has a much bigger arm.
Well, again, there's a lot of guys that have big arms.
Derek Carr has done a lot over the years, but he's also never had any season like Purdy's having. And that's what's so hard. It's because, like, if I don't know, when I just watch Purdy physically, I'm never that impressed with his throwing. He does have some running, actually, that really impresses me, and some escapability in the pocket that impresses me.
By the way, he's going to get hurt running.
He might.
He never slides.
He's a little goofy with it.
Can he end up being, and I'm just looking at Carr's best year was 4,800 yards, and that was 3 years ago in Vegas. And he's never, only once has he thrown for over 30 touchdown passes, and that was in 2015. So, guys, you know what you're kind of describing to me is almost like an Eli Manning type. Like, he may not have the numbers other guys do, but... He just seems to be ultra clutch, but
he's got better numbers in season than Eli.
Right, but I'm saying it's kind of like in the sense, like I think Purdy will be a better quarterback than Eli Manning up and down, but there's just that it factor of in the big game, and also it's so early in his career, he may not have the best arm, he may not have the physical attributes that the other guys do, and he may never be in the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what I was trying to say about Eli, is that Eli was never in the top five quarterbacks, maybe, in some years, not even in the top 10, but
he's still somebody you want to have, somebody you want to build an organization around. And I'm telling you, Michael, if things continue to trend the way they are for Lamar Jackson and he ends up putting up MVPs but not winning, and then Brock Purdy is a borderline pedestrian regular season quarterback and is winning titles, you know, people are going to pick Purdy over Jackson, even though Jackson's got tremendous physical skills. That's a tough loss for him on his resume. It's tough to not have that winning record in the postseason when you got a good team, talent, and a great coach, and you're not winning. Does all that talent matter?
You mentioned the Giants and the idea of, like, you know, playing, you know, could he be an Eli character? Michael, you know what's interesting? How can you even come up with a comp? I know it sounds like Michael and I in particular are discrediting Purdy. And you really shouldn't, because he's been awesome. But can you in any way find a comp for someone having Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel? Not only, Michael, do they have Kyle Shanahan and the kind of offense that he runs, which is just constantly getting the ball out of your hands immediately and throw, short throw. It really complements his style. But Deebo and McCaffrey in particular, guys who both can catch the ball out of the backfield and run. It's such a sick combination. I think it's very hard to really compare him to these other guys. I really do.
Let's finish up the last nine teams.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield with the Bucs. Better, right? But, you know, it's almost on that same level.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure yet that Baker's better. We need to see more.
Baker's. No.
Brock's better.
I said Purdy's better.
Oh, yeah. You mean Purdy's better. Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen enough from Baker Mayfield to be better than what Purdy's done, though.
Russell Wilson?
I mean, he was better. Is he at this moment? Russell had a really good bounce back year. I don't know. That's how do you say that? Because right. Russell's better historically.
Mahomes, better.
Yeah.
Garoppolo's not better. Herbert is better. Better talent.
I mean, you love Herbert. He definitely appears better.
Kyler Murray?
No. More talented.
Matthew Stafford?
Historically, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he's Matthew Stafford. He's definitely
better.
And
Geno Smith?
He's better than Geno Smith.
Yeah, I mean...
All right, so unless this little exercise, what this does, unless you have 20 people at a table, he's at table 3.
No, but we got to factor
everything
else.
Of all the people we just said are better.
Well, but yeah, you're kind of morphing the argument into what you perceive to be better.
The table...
So physical talent, like somebody mentioned something on Twitter. Well, then where would Tom Brady be? Because Tom Brady wasn't the most gifted athlete. He had a big arm, but he wasn't mobile at all. You wouldn't put him on the same level as a Patrick Mahomes talent-wise, but you would take Tom Brady every day over Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, how do you morph this conversation? It was who's stronger, who's more talented, who's more gifted? But winning still matters.
Two things. I don't think everybody would take Tom Brady over Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that's a no-brainer. But I also hear what you're saying. If you're looking at the tables, Michael, as I had it earlier in the year, I had Purdy at table 2 with Herbert, Goff, and Lamar Jackson.
And table, so now you're moving Goff off the table.
I mean, based on the way we were talking about it right now, not necessarily, though I said they were close. Table 3 had Stafford, Cousins, Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, and Geno Smith.
I think Stafford's better than Purdy.
But the thing is, we're really just guessing. I don't like this exercise in the sense that Purdy, all he does is win games. His record's insane. His numbers are insane. We really should just be saying he's on pace to become an all-time great. The problem is, he was Mr. Irrelevant. We don't know that much about him. He has a sick coach and two incredible weapons that everyone in the league would die to have. So it's very hard to really analyze this in any other way besides hunch.
I guess let's just put it in this perspective. Michael, it sounds like what you're saying is that when it's all said and done, Purdy will never be at the level that the truly elite quarterbacks get to.
I don't know if I could say that, because if he continues to win, winning is a huge, huge factor in determining how good a player is.
What if he has 7 years with Kyle Shanahan in this team?
And he wins 3 Super Bowls, and he's got to be considered one of the greats. I guess what I'm delineating is, just in terms of pure physical talent, it's not there for this guy. But put it all together, and it works.
By the way, I think Debo's 28. What's McCaffrey, like 28? Like this, this could.
By the way, McCaffrey almost got paralyzed yesterday.
Oh my God! Oh, I know.
That was brutal. And it wasn't even brought up on the broadcast.
Is he fine?
He was. That guy was giving him like an unbelievable massage because something was wrong with his neck. But he went down straight down on his neck.
If that happens to one of us, over. Yeah. Life, that's just because he's a jack dude that he could even survive that. It was crazy.
All right, we'll come back, take some of your phone calls, still up to talk some Knicks. This year, it's time to finally lose that weight the safe and natural way with NJ Diet. Their results are nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. With NJ Diet, you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with bioenergetic scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements that get your body into the fat-burning zone. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. Don't take shots the rest of your life. Nope. Lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40-plus pounds in only 40 days, naturally, quickly, and safely with NJ Diet. No hormones, no prepackaged foods, no shots. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, 1-800-919-3776. Before we get to the Knicks, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Aaron in Woodmere.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So this is going to come off as a hot take when I really don't think it's such a hot take. And I'm a firm believer that the Lions, at this point, should fire Dan Campbell. And not necessarily for the aggressiveness yesterday, though I don't understand why he didn't go up 17. But the reason you fire him is because I'm a believer that for sustained success in the NFL, you need to have continuity with your play caller and your quarterback. And the only way for the Lions to keep Ben Johnson in the building is to fire Campbell and hire him as head coach. Because if not, he's going to leave. He's going to go to Washington. They're going to find someone new. I think a great example of this is in Buffalo, where the Bills chose to keep Sean McDermott. And I don't think Sean McDermott's a bad coach, but I think ask any NFL fan right now, they would way rather have Brian Daboll with Josh Allen still. And I mean, look at the disaster. And it's firing the coordinator in the middle of the year this year. As a Giants fan, I'm very happy with Daboll. But
Aaron, what you're doing is you're picking the times with. I mean, should the Patriots have fired Bill Belichick when their offense when Charlie Weiss left? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That team loves Dan Campbell. They play hard for Dan Campbell. And although losing that coordinator will be tough, you deal with it and you get another coordinator.
But if
you don't fire the head coach.
Unless you think that having him is more important to the team than the head coach. And I don't think the Detroit Lions believe that. He changed the culture of that team. We could disagree about the play calling, although I think those are organizational decisions, if they are analytical ones.
But let's not forget where the Lions were before he got there. So he deserves credit for that. Offensive coordinators, as great as they are, come and go. Great coaches, head coaches, Michael, do not. And as much as I disagree with his decision-making yesterday, you can't deny of what he's done for that Lion team. And you would set them back decades if they were to let him go. Now, if you bring in a Bill Belichick or a Pete Carroll or something, but I think that would still be spitting in the face of a lot of good that he did. When he first got that job, we were laughing at him, the chewing knees. Next thing you know, they're beating the Packers, knock them out of the playoffs in Week 18 last year, and end up coming with a whisker going to the Super Bowl the next. That is not somebody that you fire.
It is interesting, though, that all the things that made him great to get them to this point were his downfall yesterday. You know, his just like maniacal go for it no matter what, that hurt him. And I think it helped him in the long run build this team back to what it was. But I think he's got to find a happy ground.
Or do we overrate the aggressiveness? I love how we praise these coaches for being aggressive. Well, maybe you have a really talented team that if coached well could win. Like, sometimes I think we give coaches too much credit, Michael. Like, he probably changed the culture by getting them to believe in themselves, putting together a good program schedule-wise to get them on the straight and narrow. Oh, yeah, we sit there and go, oh, the aggressiveness has got them where they were. I mean, I don't sit there and watch every down of the Detroit Lions, but is that the reason why they went to the championship game? Or maybe he's a really good coach with really good players.
It's funny, NFL coaches, I think there's two important things. They have to be good motivators where people will run through a wall for them, and they also have to be good at X's and O's.
Right.
So I just don't – what's most important? I think if you're turning a team around, it's got to be a guy that can make guys run through walls. But then when you want to take that next step, you've got to be pretty good at the X's and O's.
I was going to say, it's an interesting thing, though, with regard to the – it's an interesting thing with regard to the Detroit team in particular, though, because the offense is such a big part of what they do. Like, I know you guys are right. They do play for Dan Campbell. But, guys, you can play as hard as you want. If you don't have an offense – That puts up points the way they do, that their defense isn't doing it alone.
And the scary thing, though, is that the one thing that they need to improve on is their defense. It's not bad, but it clearly was the worst of the four teams in the championship weekend.
Correct.
And they're going to probably lose Aaron Glenn. So that's an area where they probably have to focus on.
Well, where are they losing Aaron Glenn?
Well, there's talk that he may get a head coaching job.
Well, there's only two left. So if Johnson gets the Commanders and Quinn gets the Seahawks, the music stops.
Right. Okay, so then they won't lose him. But I think at some point they will. So if not this year, maybe next year. I don't see the Lions going away anytime soon, guys. I mean, Campbell's young. I mean, Goff is getting a little older, but I could see them in that division. I could see them being good for a while.
Mike in South Amboy. Mike.
Hey, guys. I just want to touch on the Brock Purdy thing. Based off of his numbers and his record, if he was the first overall pick and wasn't Mr. Irrelevant, had that stink of Mr. Irrelevant, mm-hmm. would you be saying that the 49ers nailed that pick?
I hear what you're trying to get to, Mike, but if he was the number one pick, then what we're saying about him wouldn't be applicable. He'd have a rocket arm. He'd be fast. I mean, you would never pick a guy like Brock Purdy with the number one pick. So, I mean, the 49ers couldn't have thought that much about him. They waited till the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, it's so weird, right? I mean, we've seen Russell Wilson, Joe Montana. Those were third-round picks. Talk about a seventh-round pick.
I mean, if Trey Lance doesn't get hurt, he doesn't even get a chance. I mean, we could say the same thing about Tom Brady. If Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, we ever know Tom Brady.
But you know what? Trey Lance's injuries, but also I don't think could this coaching staff get enough out of him? They gave up on him because maybe they felt even with all that talent, we can't get where we need to go. Garoppolo, you know, they moved on from him because they felt like we can only get so far. I mean, so when the music stopped, Michael, there Brock Purdy stood. So, yeah, he was the last pick. He was Mr. Irrelevant, but they stuck with him. It's got a Tom Brady-esque type of feel to this thing.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And again, we can't quantify it, but, God, this has been a very, very productive 2 years for a guy that was selected last in the league.
Artie Fairlawn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. God, you guys are unbelievable tonight. From the time I wanted to call, Michael, you want to replace Sam Darnold with Purdy, and you think that the Niners would be the same. That's absurd.
I didn't say I wanted to. I think that with that coaching, I think they'd be in the same spot with Sam Darnold.
I don't think so, Mike. But you know what? Before he got hurt in the championship game the other year, he almost let him there. I mean, I don't know where you're coming from with that.
But you're right, Artie. You don't know where I'm coming from. So I thank you. I'm saying that such a great coach and a great system, that Sam Darnold's skills that he has, I think that he could take them to the same spot as Purdy can.
Can we?
I'm not saying that Purdy. Why is everybody hearing me say Purdy is bad? I'm saying that Purdy is not one of the elite quarterbacks in terms of talent.
And to your point about Sam Darnold. Could you be more polar opposite coaching-wise to what Purdy's had to what Sam Darnold had to start his career?
Oh, beautifully said.
I mean, my God. I mean, he had nobody compared to what Shanahan is for Purdy. So, I don't know, Michael. It's tough. I mean, even with all the bad coaching, we saw Sam Darnold throw for 3,000 yards. I mean, there's ability there, Michael. There's no question. And with the right coaching, I think Sam Darnold would be a really good quarterback. Do I know he'd be the winner that Purdy is? Would he be at that level? I don't know.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if Shanahan can make anything out of Zach. I just don't know.
No.
And again, none of us know anything. We're surmising. We're guessing. Sam Darnold has a really good arm.
And Zach is, for all of his faults, Michael, there's ability there.
Yeah, he's got skills.
I mean, I'm more convinced of it being the case with Sam than Zach.
Yeah, me too.
Even though, just because Zach has had so many times to show, he just doesn't seem to have, there's some mental piece missing. Sam just never got a fair chance in terms of the coaching early in his career. I think he would be able to fit right in there. But I also feel bad giving short shrift to Purdy, because like, just because you have some basic skills doesn't mean you automatically play for Kyle Shanahan and become a stud. How do we know? They weren't able to get anything from Trey Lance, but then again, he was always hurt. So,
Mac in Randolph. Mac. Hello, Mac.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
I wanted to get your... Hey, what's up? I wanted to get your take on the Zay Flowers taunt the other day. Yesterday, I thought it was like the ultimate karma / you played yourself.
Where he taunted
and fumbled in the end zone. But I heard a lot of people saying that... I heard a lot of people saying that you get rid of the taunt rule. But I just felt like, especially what he did, where he actually pushed him back down... Like, I thought that definitely should have been called, and I don't know, I had no problem with it.
Well, I mean, if you get rid of the taunt rule, Mac, you're going to have brawls.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And we talked about this earlier in the show. It's a disgrace what he did, but it's a product of allowing players to do what they want to do, let the guys be guys, let the kids be kids. That's not celebrating. That's rubbing it in another person's nose. And if you don't have taunting penalties, there's going to be brawls on the field. There just is. And you know what? He couldn't do it because Flowers is so important physically to that team. After that play, you take him out and you bench him. But you can't do that in a championship game. You just can't. So your hands are tied. But I think that what happened with that play is definitely a product of allowing players to do what they want to do. And then they get emboldened and they think that they could do whatever. Well, there's no excuse for what he did.
You got to still be able to have the chance to coach these guys. I understand that the players have a lot of power. It's not like it was back in the day, and you probably hurt your team if you bench him. But you could still coach him. Can't you have a conversation with him today at some point? All right, you see the issue here? You see how you can't do that anymore? Explain it to him. It is on the coaches to do it. I understand you can't necessarily discipline them the way you did, but you can coach them up to realize that as much fun as it is to taunt, And to get everybody to pay attention to you, that you can hurt the team doing that?
I'm told, I don't have the audio yet. I'll get it before ENN. I'm told that he was excellent today. He took complete ownership, blamed himself for everything, and just...
Well, he should, because so, it is on him, and I hope that he learned something.
He's a rookie, and yeah, hopefully he learned from it, but it was in the moment. Oh, as the caller said, it was the ultimate congratulations you played yourself. And the pushdown was terrible, too.
You know who else is not an innocent in this? Travis Kelce does nonsense, too, when he catches the ball. Nonsense. Which borders on taunting. You can't do that either. The first down point, that's taunting. I'm sorry. The official is there to point first down. So when you do it right in the face of a guy who just caught the ball, that's taunting.
That is taunting.
And I don't know if you guys saw this. Lawrence Tynes retweeted it, that there was an incident before the game.
No, the Justin Tucker thing?
Yeah. So things like that.
Oh, no, they were. But you guys didn't see the video of that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was Tucker and, I mean, it was Mahomes and Kelce kind of messing with Tucker. It was weird.
Tucker was kind of warming up in the end zone, and then Kelce just like took Tucker's equipment and kind of just threw it away. And according to Lawrence Tynes, he said it's kind of understood if you're there first. I guess it's during warm-ups or something that Tucker was there first. He should have been given the chance to move or to finish his warm-up. But according to Tynes, it just seemed like that he was big-footed there. Oh, it's Mahomes and Kelsey, so you're going to have to move. And I guess Tucker didn't, so he just took his helmet and whatever was by Tucker's feet and just threw it. That's kind of, at least from what I saw, looked kind of nozzly.
As we've been saying, there's a lot of nozzle in this Chiefs team.
There's a lot of nozzle in the NFL. According to Fox Sports PR, 56,691,000 viewers watched the NFC Championship game.
Holy crap.
So I'll probably beat the afternoon just because of the time, because they alternate.
Right.
So, and that was a great game, but I'm sure Chiefs-Ravens might have gotten even more of a look if that had been at 6:30.
That's the best NFC Championship game viewership in 12 years.
Wow.
Now, remember one thing. They have changed the viewership counting, where now they give you a certain amount for bar. That didn't happen like 15 years ago. So they add a little bit more people.
So they're not given like a meter where you just happen to like stumble into good lighting and you get a number?
No. I wish that happened in radio. Football Mondays on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to learn how you can have the Sloman's Shield professionally installed free. Sloman's, the difference is human. Speaking of humans, here's Peter.
Guys, this is a message brought to you by BetterHelp. A common misconception about good relationships is that they're easy. Sometimes the best relationships have conflict. And despite the conflict, friends preserve. They talk through disagreements. And mostly never quit on each other. Therapy can be a great place to work through relationship challenges that exist in all of our relationships. I know for me, the happiest I've been in my relationship is right now, and it comes with work and talking about it in therapy. If you started thinking about therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, and you get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Get your relationship right with yourself. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. To Football Monday with the Michael K. Show, presented by Infinity and Sloman's.
A little baseball news. The Angels have signed Aaron Hicks, but the Yankees still on the hook for $19 million. So he was with the Orioles last year, still has 2 years at $10 million left on his contract, $10 million a year. So the Angels giving him $1 million. The Yankees have to pay him $19 million. So he is on the Angels, Aaron Hicks. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Dave in Rochelle Park. Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Before earlier in the show, I heard Peter say something about bad coaching calls, and I thought of the one with Pete Carroll not letting Marshawn Lynch run it into the end zone in the Super Bowl.
That's a good one.
The pass. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest ones. And I just wanted to say that. And then I'm a 49er fan, and to me, you know, Brock Purdy is he's a good quarterback. He does a lot of good things. He's got a good throw, good arm for what he does. And I agree with you. The team he has behind him is big, but, you know, he's got the team behind him unbelievably. When they say the reason there is because of him, that's got to mean a lot, you know?
No, I think he's a perfect guy for the perfect team, and I don't want people to think that what I'm saying is knocking him. I'm just saying that from a physical standpoint, I don't see the greatness that I see in a guy like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. But if you keep winning, that's the only stat that really matters.
Yeah,
what does it matter if he doesn't look great doing it?
You know, we were talking about the comparables, and we throw out Tom Brady. The better comparable is probably Joe Montana, right? Third-round pick.
Not a great arm.
Not a great arm. And also, he was a third-round pick out of Notre Dame. You know, Purdy went to Iowa State. So if Joe Montana went to Iowa State, maybe he would have been drafted even later. But coaching genius in Bill Walsh, and you know, you go 4-for-4 in the Super Bowl. Now we'll see what Purdy ends up doing at the end of the day, but sometimes it's that combination. It just tells you really how important coaching is in this league, guys. So many talented quarterbacks go nowhere, and so many guys like Purdy and Russell Wilson and Joe Montana, they get drafted later in rounds and become unbelievable quarterbacks. What do they all have in common? Having, you know, tremendous coaching. You know, you don't think Pete Carroll had something to do with Russell Wilson becoming a Super Bowl quarterback? And Bill Walsh with what he was able to do? But then you get guys like, you know, Dan Marino, who had all the skill sets. Don Shula, the winningest coach in the history of the NFL. And no Super Bowls. So it is kind of just trying to find the exact formula. Just very frustrating.
Let's go to Hunter in the car. Hunter.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just got two quick points here. The first one is, I didn't have a real problem with Dan Campbell's calls. My problem was that running call on the goal line, burning the timeout. I think that was a bozo call.
Yep.
And then being this line, that to me was one of the most crushing call or fan experiences. And it feels so far as a Jets fan. But it reminds me that the Jets were down 17-6 in that 2009 AFC Championship game against Peyton Manning's Colts. Obviously, the Colts scored 24 unanswered. But, you know, that feels like light years away right now.
You know, one thing that does show you, though, Hunter, and I think Dan Campbell articulated it yesterday, no guarantee they get back. It's hard to get back.
It's very difficult, Michael. What if Philadelphia gets it right? What if Dallas gets it right? We know how talented those two teams are, and Philadelphia's got a brand new defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, so it's not crazy to think they could be back in the fold.
What if my guy Dable gets it right?
I mean, the Giants, you hope, are on the upswing, you know, and in that division, you know, I don't know what the Bears are going to get a new quarterback, so I think the Lions will be back in the playoffs. I'd be shocked if they weren't, but, you know, Dallas isn't going anywhere. Philadelphia is not going anywhere. Certainly San Francisco doesn't look like they're going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Hey, Peter, I think I have something for your Hot 97 show.
Oh, interesting.
I think you have Wink Martindale as one of the stars of You Played Yourself.
Oh, what happened?
He sacrificed the $3 million so he can go wherever he wants, and it looks like he might not get a job.
Well, that would be... that
Played
would
Yourself.
Yeah, that would be it.
I mean, the jobs are moving fast.
Well,
he might not get a defensive coordinator job. So if you don't get a defensive coordinator job, you're not getting $3 million to be a position coach.
And you wonder, Michael, how much does that show you that Dable was the one that was in the right.
It's a good point, because they probably investigated, you know, what's going on here. And I'm sure Dable's not going to be singing his praises, because, you know, you get fired from a job or you there's a parting of the way. They're always calling your boss.
Right.
They just always are. So they're going to have their say. So Wink could say, well, that's not true. But the guy who's the head coach, true, probably the guy who's going to be believed more.
But then again, all the more reason why he should have just fired him.
And he should have just taken the money.
Yeah, exactly. So $3 million in the grand scheme of things shouldn't put a dent in the Giants at all. But still, ended up working out perfect. He got to keep it, and it doesn't look like he's getting a job.
Don, is it me, or is it 30 years, and every time the ball on San Francisco goes to 44, I think it's Tom Rathman?
It's
isn't it crazy?
Cool. It is pretty cool. I'm a fan of the 49ers, but you do have to respect that history. And as they, with the exception of the occasional throwbacks that they wear, they haven't really changed the uniform at all.
Right. So some things are just, if they didn't make the Hall of Fame or anything, you're just like, oh, I know those guys from the Super Bowl teams. Michael, you all right?
I'm just a little depressed.
What? No, okay, let's talk it out.
Because I'm depressed because the Lions should be in the Super Bowl.
It's so, when I started believing it was going to happen, I was so excited. I was like, "This is crazy!"
And
the Detroit Lions,
a really cool town. I mean,
it was going to be so exciting,
and it was there, Peter.
Oh no,
they didn't lose the game. It was there.
That's what kills you, is that you know Lions fans when they were up 7-0.
And there were 35,000 people in Ford Field watching on the floor. By the way,
every time they showed the crowd in San Francisco, there was a shocking amount of Lions fans, I thought. Every time they showed a crowd, I'd always see some. But the thing is, 7-0, they probably like, all right, that's a cool start, but everyone's still nervous. 14-0, they're going, okay. 21-7 and driving, they're going, oh my God. We score again here, 21-7, driving. Yep. We're going to win this game.
Wow.
And they get the three. They get it to 24-7. And to think they could have made it three scores again, I just really feel for their fans. And honestly, all of us were ripped off. If you're not a Niners fan, I have to imagine there are other people like me. I'm just sick of them being in the Super Bowl or the championship game.
And
I'm
now
sick
would
of
have
it.
Been both number one seeds would have been knocked off. It would have been great. It would have been great. Hey, all right, business leaders, let's talk dry ice, shall we? Dry ice emergencies. Ever had your approved vendor drop the ball when you needed dry ice the most? Enter Chilly Willy and Cool Carl's Ice, your dependable solution when the heat is on. Over 46 years of rescuing companies from ice nightmares. Schedule maintenance, power shutdowns, or unexpected emergencies, they've got you covered. Because when you need dry ice, you need it now. Not whenever. ChillyWillyCoolCarl.com. Chilly Willy and Cool Carl's Ice. Because your emergency shouldn't be an emergency.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.